Welcome to the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast, a 90-day journey for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. I am a critical care registered nurse with a background in youth ministry and window cleaning. That last one has nothing to do with the theme of this podcast, but I did it for 13 years, so if you know anyone who needs their windows cleaned, please don't call me, because I don't do that anymore. Instead, I'm inviting you on a 90-day journey of physical, mental, and spiritual health through the Christian practices of prayer, spiritual reading, meditation, and gratitude. I'm also going to encourage you to exercise at least 3 times per week. In the end, our goal is 3 hours of spiritual devotion and 3 hours of physical exercise per week. And because I believe faith was not meant to be done alone, I invite you to find and engage in a local church community. So please, follow this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and join me on a 90-day journey for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Today, we are on exercise 30 of 36 on our 90-day journey and 6 of 12 in our final 30-day challenge. That means we are only 6 exercises away from completing our 90-day challenge, but in case you miss an exercise, there will be a bonus makeup exercise for us on day 90. So at the end of today's episode, I'm going to talk about how chicken stock and beef stock help to heal my bursitis in my knees and joint pain in my hands. And we will also continue to read through the Gospel of John and Fox's Book of Martyrs, written in 1563 by English historian John Fox. What does a fox say? He says that Christians overcame a lot during the first 1500 years that we were in existence. As always, the bulk of our time today will be spent doing the actual practices of prayer, spiritual reading, and gratitude. So let's get started. We're going to begin with 5 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of Bible reading, 10 minutes of spiritual reading, and 5 minutes of gratitude. And I have placed links to the Lord's Prayer, Serenity Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed in the show notes. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. It is Trespasser Thursday here on the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast. That means that when we get to the part of the Lord's Prayer where we're either sinners, trespassers, or debtors, we're going to say trespasses today. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and pray the Serenity Prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you'll make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. All right, now that we've said the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer, let's top it off with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, well, now that we've finished our time of spoken prayer, we're going to do 2 minutes of focused meditative breathing. And so go ahead and take a deep breath in and exhale. Inhale. 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 Exhale. Big inhale. And exhale. All right, good job. Well, something that I was thinking of while we were taking those breaths is that Sean Aker, in his book Happiness Advantage, or it might have been the book before Happiness, he says that people at their work who actually take a time in the middle of the day to take 2 minutes of focused meditative breathing, which we've all got 2 minutes that we can drop into the middle of our day, but that they were happier. It relieved a lot of that work stress, and they were able to recompose themselves and come back to a place of peace and tranquility. So that's a good thing to, you know, throw into the middle of your day if you're having a stressful day at work. But now we are going to head into our 10 minutes of Bible reading. We're going to pick up where we left off in our last episode, which is going to be the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So it is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered unto him and said, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Chapter 3, verse 22, John the Baptist. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and near and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. How crazy of a moment must that have been for this woman? I mean, she's talking to him and they're having this conversation and she's thinking that he's talking about like real water, like he's got this magic water that if she drinks of it, you know, that she'll never have to come and draw water again because she won't be thirsty. And Jesus is constantly trying to take her deeper and deeper to get beyond the things of this world, merely drinking this water that, you know, you got to keep drinking water. You got to stay hydrated. What did I say before? Hydrate or dehydrate. You got to keep drinking water. But Jesus is saying, no, this is a different kind of water. And I want you to shift your focus from the temporal things of this world onto the eternal. And then he just drops this bomb on her at the end where she's just like, oh, I know when the Messiah comes, he's the one called the Christ and he's going to tell us everything. And then Jesus just says, I that speaketh to thee am he. She's like, oh my gosh, it's got to be a crazy moment. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comest thou harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stop there because we have past our 10-minute mark, but I wanted to come to a nice place to wrap this up. Wow, we really hit on some of the most famous passages in the Bible. Obviously, the most famous of which would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that has just got to be one of the most encouraging verses in the entire Bible, because it just displays the heart of God in that. So if you ever just think of God as this big, angry, you know, sledgehammer holding judge in the sky, just come back to that passage, because it's a reminder of the character of God, that if God really wanted to snuff us out, he could do it with the snap of his finger. I mean, you know, he's like, what's that guy in the Marvel universe who snaps his fingers and he like blows up half of the universe, destroys it, and they have to go back in time. It's something I can't remember. Oh, Thanos. Yeah, God. If God was a big mean dude like Thanos, he could just snap his fingers and wipe us out. But he's patient with us. The Bible says that he's patient that none should perish. And he gives us a chance to come to him. He would have never come in the first place if he wasn't patient and he didn't love us. But he is patient and he does love us. And Jesus did come and he did die. And in a little bit, we get to celebrate Easter, where we celebrate that resurrection and get reminded that he was the firstborn from the dead, and that when we put our faith in him, that one day we will get to be resurrected from the dead as well, and that we'll have everlasting life with him in heaven for eternity. And so, yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. And now we're going to head into our time of spiritual reading. We're going to be picking it up where we left off last episode, in Fox's Book of Martyrs, the PDF that I have a link to. It's going to be page 20, the actual book page from the book that was produced in the 1800s. It shows page 16 in the upper left-hand corner. And we're going to be picking it up where it's titled The Last Supper. So let's get started. Jesus went to eat the feast of the Passover at Jerusalem with his 12 apostles. And as he sat with them, he told the apostles that it was the last time he would eat with them. He told them that he would not eat again of the lamb that had been sacrificed until he himself had been sacrificed for the sins of the people. And he said that one of the 12 who sat there with him would betray him. The apostles were astonished at this and began each of them to say, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" Jesus said it was the one he would give a piece of bread to after he had dipped it in the dish. When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, and Judas rose up from the table and went out into the street. While they were at the table, Jesus took some bread in his hands, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave the pieces to the apostles. And he said to them, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body, which is broken for you." He meant that the bread was like his body, and that it represented his body because his body was very soon to be broken and wounded on the cross for them and for us all. After he had given them the bread, he took some wine in a cup and gave thanks and handed it to the apostles and told them to drink of it. He said, "This wine is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins." He meant that the wine was like his blood and that it represented his blood because his blood was very soon to be poured out for the wounds in his hands and his feet while he was being nailed to the cross. And the reason he would let himself be nailed there was because he wanted all the people in the world to have their sins forgiven. Then he told the apostles that after he was dead, they should meet together and eat of the bread and drink of the wine in the same way that he had shown them. And whenever they did it, he said, they should remember him. After supper, they went out to the house to the mountain called the Mount of Olives, which was not far from Jerusalem. And they came into a garden that was there called the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went a little way from the apostle to a place by himself and kneeled down on the ground and prayed. And while he prayed, he was in agony, for he was suffering from the sins of all mankind. Now Judas was watching for a time when he could betray Jesus to the chief priests. And because it was night and the garden was a lonely place and only the apostles were with Jesus, Judas thought that this was the best time to betray his master. So he went to the chief priests and Pharisees and told them where Jesus had gone. Then they called together a band of men and gave them swords and clubs to fight with and sent them with Judas to take Jesus. Jesus knew they were coming. Yet he did not make a haste to go away, but waited to let them take him because he knew that the time had come for him to die. While he was yet speaking to the apostles and telling them that the one who would betray him was coming near, Judas came and the band of men with him carrying swords and clubs and lanterns. Now Judas had told these men how they should know which one was Jesus. He had said to them, "The one I shall kiss is he. Take him and hold him fast." Then Judas came to Jesus and pretended he was glad to see him. He said, "Master, master," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, dost thou betray me to my enemies by a kiss?" Then the men whom the chief priests had sent, when they saw Judas kiss him, took hold of Jesus and bound him with their fetters to take him away. When the apostles saw them to do this to their master, whom they loved, they wanted to fight against them. They said to Jesus, "Lord, shall we fight them with swords?" And Peter, who had a sword, drew it out of his sheath and struck one of the men and cut off his right ear. But Jesus told Peter to put his sword back again into its sheath. His father, he said, would send thousands of angels to fight for him and save him from dying if he would ask them. And he stretched out his hand and touched the man's ear that Peter had struck with the sword and made it well again. Then the apostles, being afraid of the band of men, all left Jesus and made haste to flee away. The men took Jesus and led him to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter followed Jesus to the house and, being asked if he was his disciple, denied it three times, as Jesus had foretold. Peter was reminded of this by the crowing of a cock, and he went out and wept bitterly. When it was morning, they took Jesus before the chief court of the Jews, held in a room near the temple. False witnesses were brought in to testify against him, but they could not prove that he had done any wrong. The high priest asked Jesus if he was the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus answered, "I am. And I say unto you, hereafter you shall see me sitting on the right hand of God and coming back to earth again in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest was angry and rent his clothes and cried, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses?" After the Jews had mocked Jesus and expressed their hatred and contempt for him, they took him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, to be condemned to death. Pilate questioned Jesus and could find no fault in him. Now every year at the feast of the Passover, it was the custom of the Roman governor to set free one Jewish prisoner. And there was at this time in prison one named Barabbas, who was a murderer. Then Pilate said to the people, "Which one shall I set free, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that they had brought Jesus to be punished only because they hated him. While Pilate was speaking with them, his wife sent word to him, saying, "Do no harm to that just man, for I have been much troubled this day in a dream concerning him." But the chief priests persuaded the Jews to ask Barabbas to be set free. Pilate answered, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." Pilate said, "Why, what evil has he done?" They cried out all the more with their loud voices, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was washed, that saw that he could not persuade them to ask for Jesus, he took some water and washed his hands before the people, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the Jews, "His blood be on us and our children." Page 20 or 24 in the PDF. The Roman soldiers scourged Jesus. Then the Roman soldiers who were to put Jesus to death took him and scourged him. After they had done this, they mocked him by putting on him a purple robe, and they plaited a wreath of thorns, which they put on his head, instead of a golden scepter or rod, such as kings held when sitting on their thrones. They put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed down before him, pretending he was a king, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they took the reed from him and struck him on the head. They also struck him with their hands. After all these things had been done to Jesus, Pilate thought the Jews would be willing to let him go. So he brought him out where the Jews could see him, with the crown of thorns on his head and wearing the purple robe. But when the chief priests and all the Jews saw Jesus, they cried aloud, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." When Judas Iscariot saw that Jesus was really to die, he was greatly afraid for what he had done. And he came to the chief priests and rulers with the 30 pieces of silver to give it back to them, but they would not take it, and he threw the money on the ground and went and hanged himself. Jesus is crucified. The soldiers, after they had mocked Jesus, took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on. Then they led him away to be crucified. When a person was led out to be crucified, he was made to carry his cross, but Jesus could not carry his cross alone. The soldiers made a man named Simon from Cyrene help him carry it. And they brought Jesus to the Mount of Calvary, which was a little way from Jerusalem, and there they nailed him to the cross. Even while they were crucifying him, he prayed for them, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Pilate made a writing and had it fastened to the cross. These were the words that he wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And the same time that they crucified Jesus, they crucified two thieves with him, one on the right and one on his left. And the soldiers took his garments and divided them among themselves. While Jesus hung open upon the cross in the agonies of death, the people mocked him and said, "If thou art the Son of God, come down from the cross." The chief priests and scribes also reviled him and said, "He saved others. Why can he not also save himself?" If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, having greater faith, exclaimed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. To him Jesus replied, This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. I think I missed a verse there. The chief priests and scribes also reviled him, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. One of the thieves who was crucified with him also cried out and said, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, having greater faith, exclaimed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. To him Jesus replied, This shalt thou be with me in paradise. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. From the sixth until the ninth hour, that is, from the 12 until 3 o'clock, while Jesus was upon the cross, the earth was covered in darkness, and stars appeared at noonday, which made the people afraid. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then one of the men standing near held up to him upon the point of a reed a sponge dipped in vinegar. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and died. Then the curtain called the veil, which hung in the temple, was torn in two from top to the bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were broken in pieces, and the graves were opened, and many of the dead came forth. When the Roman soldiers who were watching Jesus saw these things, they feared greatly and said, Surely this man was the Son of God. We'll go ahead and stop there. Next episode, we'll pick it up on page 22 in the physical copy of the book. And then that is going to be page 26 on the PDF version. And so now we're going to go ahead and head into our time of gratitude. We're going to answer those three questions that, or the two questions that Sean Aker asks. What are the three things that you're thankful for today and why? And name three details about the most meaningful experience of your day. So go ahead and get your journal. Be ready for your gratitude. Write it down. Put it in your journal. Put it in your phone. Whatever you got to do, just make sure you're practicing that gratitude. You'll be grateful that you did it. For me, the first thing I'm thankful for today and why is rain, because we've gotten some rain recently and we really needed it here in Oklahoma. I'm sure everybody needs it. It's been kind of a dry season. So I'm very thankful for the rain. Number two, birthday parties, because they're fun and they're a good excuse to celebrate someone. And I took my daughter yesterday to a birthday party for a classmate, and it was a lot of fun just seeing her have a good time running around, playing with her friends. And third, Mad Libs, because they might get my kids laughing harder than anything else in the world. And if you're not familiar with Mad Libs, look it up, buy some. You can get them at Walmart or Target or Amazon. There, you will not be disappointed. It's a great way for young kids who are struggling with learning the difference between adjectives and adverbs and nouns and pronouns and verbs and all that stuff to be able to learn those things. Because they're very creative stories where they remove certain words and they just tell you to put in an adjective or a random noun or a random adverb, or, you know, it's very, and then when you read back the story, you have no idea how those words that you gave are going to fit into the context of the story. And this last one that we did, this was actually turned into my three things that I'm thankful for today and why. It was that we did Mad Libs with my kids the other night, and my daughter and younger son were laughing so hard. And I think the one line that they laughed at the hardest was spicy belly button. And, you know, I mean, hey, they're 9 and 12. Spicy belly button's pretty funny. And then the third detail was my son rereading it to my wife, their mom, and her laughing too. And so it was just a good time. Like I said, if you've got kids, even if you don't, I remember the first time I did Mad Libs, I was on a camping trip with a couple buddies, and I think I'd just graduated from college not too long before, and we were out camping, and it was like the last thing we did before, you know, going to bed, just sitting around the fire. We did some Mad Libs, and it was so funny. So highly recommend it. And so now's the part of the podcast where I'm going to encourage you to get your 30 minutes of zone two cardio and 20 minutes of strength training, and then make sure you're doing a 5 minute warm up and a 5 minute cool down. And just a reminder that as you're doing those warm ups and that cool down, that that also can double as balance training. Because let's say you're stretching your hamstring or your quads, you're going to be you can do that standing, and it's going to challenge your balance. And I like trying to do it without holding on to anything, and just the if you can stand on one leg for 20 seconds, that's really good for your core, and it's an indication that you're less likely to lose your balance and fall. And that's something that Dr. Peter Attia talks about again and again and again. And so something that's been really cool for me recently is that as my son's been progressing and working from novice to 5K and trying to do it injury free, I've been able to go on runs with him. But I decided that I needed to make sure I was still getting my 5Ks in, because I wasn't always sure, because sometimes he'll end up doing something different. Like he might go to swim practice instead, because we're still having him do swim once a week. And he might choose swim that day instead. So I just got to make sure I'm getting mine, which has meant I've actually ended up doubling up the last couple times. So I ran 3 miles, and then I ran another 1.5 miles with him later in the day. And then I ran 3 miles the other morning, and ended up running 2 miles with him later in the day. And so I've actually been pretty impressed with myself that I've been able to do that, because I'm not like a ultra marathon or anything like that. I've done a half marathon once, I've done a 15K once, a 10K, all that stuff. But for the most part, I just stick with the 5K. I'm not interested in doing like an ultra marathon. But learned something cool about my son's cross country coach. Apparently, for her 50th birthday, she decided to do an ultra marathon and ran 100 miles. And she's a beast. I'm shocked that she's 50, because she does not look 50 at all. But you know, I guess anybody who can run 100 miles probably isn't going to look their age. So kudos to her. And today's health hack is going to be about how I ended up overcoming bursitis in both of my knees and joint pain by drinking chicken broth and beef broth. And it was actually a stock, because I'd done this long bike race. It was 42 miles long, and I haven't done these long bike races before. I just did it this one time, and I'd really only trained up to about 20 miles, but I can be competitive, you know, come race day. And so I really felt like I needed to be pushing myself harder than I probably should have. And if you're familiar with Tulsa at all, it's very hilly. And so there were a lot of hills, and I did not have my bike properly fitted to me. It's a hybrid bike, it's not a road bike. And so I'm racing against these other people who have actual racing bikes, and I'm trying to keep up with them, and I'm passing some of them up, and you know, I'm patting myself on the back. And at the end of the race, though, my knees were really sore, and I ended up developing bursitis. And that inflammation in my knees, if I had swelling in both of my knees, and it was still there a full year later, 12 months after doing this bike race. It was called the Tulsa Tough, and it was free because my hospital sponsors the event, and so employees can race for free. And so I did their 42-mile one, and at the end of it, like I said, I ended up with inflammation in my knees. I ended up going to an orthopedic surgeon 12 months later, and they said, "Well, it's bursitis. It's not serious. You don't need surgery. I could do steroid shots for you, but with steroid shots, there's always the risk of infection. And you know, we should probably do a CT scan first, just to ensure that there's not, you know, structural damage." And I was like, "No, I'm good." And I just thought, I'm going to figure something out. And so one night I was taking care of a patient, and I was listening to this infomercial, and it was these two doctors who were talking about the importance of collagen, and they developed their boutique expensive bone broth. And I thought to myself, "Self," I said, "there's got to be a cheaper bone broth out there." And so I started researching bone broth and found out that that's kind of a marketing term. And so chefs, you know, there's a distinction between a broth and a stock. And what they would say is that a broth is is when you take whatever it is, whether it's the chicken, the bones, the vegetables, and you simmer it in water, and then all the goodness inside of it just kind of leaches out. But a broth is going to be simmered, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. I'm sure there are people out there who know more than I do, and you'd correct me on this. But then when you would look at a stock, the stock is simmered for like 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours. And the bone broth is actually more of a stock than it is a broth. And so I decided, well, I don't want to, I just didn't want to spend that kind of money on bone broth because it can get a little pricey. So I just bought good old fashioned Swanson chicken stock. And I started drinking the Swanson chicken stock. And sure enough, within 2 months for me, this swelling that had been there for 12 months after this race was gone. And not only that, but I noticed that the joint pain that I'd been having in my hands was gone as well. And I was so thrilled. And that was really the only thing that I had changed. I guess the one other thing that I've changed is I haven't done any extended bike races since then. I've focused on running and swimming. But and I also got my bike properly fitted. So if I do want to go ahead and race, hopefully this time I wouldn't torque my knees. But what I've noticed is that this is not a placebo effect. And again, I'm not a doctor. I don't have prescriptive authority. So if you're having major knee problems and knee pain, see a doctor, talk to an orthopedic surgeon, see what they recommend. But for me, that it wasn't major structural damage. It was just really bad inflammation. And doing this, drinking this chicken stock, I would drink 8 ounces or 1 cup every night, and I would alternate between chicken and beef. And I just did it every night before bed. And the swelling went completely away, and my joint pain has been gone. And it's come back from time to time. And usually when it comes back, it's when I've stopped drinking it. And part of the reason that I stopped drinking it is that I don't have the pain, so I'm not thinking about it. It's not that, whereas when I was having the pain in my knees and in my hands on a regular basis, I was conscious of it. And so I made a conscious effort to drink the chicken stock and the beef stock. Now, you want to get, for most people, if you're going to see results, it's probably going to take about 3 months because it takes 3 months for cellular turnover to occur for your body to get rid of the bad cells and replace them with good, healthy cells. And so for me, the damage must not have been super extensive because it only took a couple months. But so be patient with it. It's not something that you're going to notice overnight. And then if you do this, and of course the pain is not going away, then you might be in a situation where you've completely eroded the cartilage in your knee, and you might need arthroscopic or a knee replacement. But hopefully you're catching this before that ever happens, and you're including this chicken stock into your diet, and you're getting all that yummy, healthy collagen to help fortify your joints. And so yeah, that's my recommendation for today. Go down. You don't have to buy anything super expensive. Just find some good old-fashioned chicken stock or beef stock. And if you want to go for the bone broth, you can go for that too. But the reason that I don't do the bone broth is because I started doing that as well. And my kids told me to stop because they said that it made my breath stink. And so I stopped cold turkey. But I didn't stop cold turkey. I actually stopped warm broth. And on that note, thanks for tuning in to the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast. I hope that this practice is as beneficial for you as it is for me. If not, I hope that you do find a practice that works for you. But if it has been beneficial for you and it gives you a structure that allows you to create space for God to work in your body, mind, and spirit, then please give this podcast a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to this podcast, and stay on this journey for the full 90 days. See you next time.